Your program feature will begin in just a moment. First, a reminder, we have a Bible Institute here at BBN. At bbnradio.org, just click Bible Institute.
Hey, how's that home building project going? Well, let BBN help you as you build a strong family to the glory of God. Welcome to Building Blocks for the Family. Our guest is Jerry Lancaster. Is the Christian life just for adults? Or should young people be challenged and equipped to stand for Christ and follow Him day by day? Think about that as we hear today Jerry Lancaster and the special world of teens.
If you'll turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days come, and the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." That verse encourages all of us to be sure that we pay attention to God while we are young. As I look over the congregation, I see considerable number of teens and young people who are in our congregation. And the Word of God talks to us about the importance of listening to God, obeying God, and paying attention to God while we are teens, while we are in our formative years. He also says in this passage, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." Then he talks about the evil days coming. What does he mean by that? There are days coming that will be days of trouble. I think those of us who are parents would say to those of you who are teens, having gone through the teenage years ourselves, and those years have some difficulties that you struggle with from time to time, I think it would be fair to say that once you get into the responsibility of marriage and family and work and some of the other things that you're going to face, you will see that those days are even more difficult in some ways. Maybe complex is the best word. Life gets more complicated the longer we live. There are more family members involved. I mean, think about it. At first, it was just my brother and two sisters and I. And then, of course, we got through our teenage years and we all went our separate ways. And then I got married. And so then I had the responsibility of a wife. And then before you know it, we had three daughters and the responsibility of the daughters. Now we have six grandchildren. So my concerns are not just for me and for my wife, but for our three daughters. And then I have three sons-in-law and six grandchildren. And so just by virtue of the number of people who are involved in my life, it has become more complex. There are some difficult days that you will face. Therefore, it is extremely important to honor God while you are 18. If you will make commitments during the teenage years, I believe that it will help you in your life to honor Him and to glorify Him. And when you face some of the difficulties that are going to come, it'll be a little bit easier to handle them because you will have settled your relationship with the Lord. Is it difficult to be a teen? I think it is. I don't want you to think that we don't think it's difficult being a teen. In this day and age, especially, with all of the pressures that are out there, there are some things that you face that we didn't face because our society has changed, our culture has changed. And as a result of that, I think it's pretty difficult to be a teen. So we want you to know that we have a concern for you and we want to help you. We want to do whatever we can. Why is it difficult to be a teenager? Now, there are many reasons, but I think this would be a simple reason. It is difficult because teenagers are wedged between childhood and adulthood. Therefore, that does not make it real easy. Having come through your childhood, entering into the teenage years, you really are not at adult status yet, but of course you are on your way to that. It is a time when you are preparing to be an adult. You have the adult potential, and there are these 7 years, I'm thinking from 13 to 19, 7 years of teens, And that is a time when you can prepare to enter into the responsibilities of life on your own. The teenage years are difficult because I think just being wedged between childhood and adulthood. Now I have something I'd like to say in light of that to the parents. And when I say this, I speak to myself as well. I think I have always, when I preached from this pulpit, I think that you have felt that I also am preaching the sermon to myself. I don't preach at you. We are all in this together. Now, I have something I'd like to say to all the parents. Your teens are not children. And that's why we as parents should not treat them as children. I think it is disrespectful for us as parents to treat you like children. And sometimes we do. I don't have any particular incident or illustration in mind, but I think that sometimes when we talk to you, when we communicate with you, we treat you just as if you're a little child still, and you're not. And that's not fair. I think it's wrong of us as parents. And you know what happens when we as parents treat our teens as children? They feel disrespected. How would you like to be disrespected? How would you like for somebody to treat you as an adult like you were a child or like you were a teen? That's not fair. I would feel very disrespected. So moms and dads, I think we need to go home with that one, and we need to think about the way we talk to our teenagers. It's just not fair, and it's not respectable for us to treat them as if they're little children still. They aren't. And I can therefore understand why some of you as teenagers sometimes have an issue with maybe your dad or your mom because they have slipped back into looking at you as if you're in fourth grade and you're not in fourth grade. It's not right. I think we need to respect you. And I want you to know, as your pastor, I do. And I don't know of any incident where I have disrespected any of you, but I will tell you this, if you feel that I have in some way, and you came to me, I would be the first one to apologize. It would probably break my heart to think that I did not know that I had disrespected you. I have the greatest of respect for our teens. I brag on you guys all the time. I get with other pastors and they'll say this or that about their church. And I always talk about our teens. And I include middle school and high school and even into the college group. We love you guys. And I hope that you always feel respected by us. But I want to talk to you teens for a minute, because I think I have something I want to say to you about this same subject. You as teens are not yet in adulthood. It is not fair for you to make adult requests of us as parents when we know that what you're asking us for or to do is not safe, it's going to hurt you, it's going to lead you in the wrong direction. Would you respect us? Now, we need to respect you, but you need to respect us. Please do not ask us for these adult requests. It's not fair. There are some things we cannot give you or some things we will not allow you to do, not because we want to keep you at home or keep you in a box or keep you restricted. That's not what we're thinking about. There are just some things that we know as adults would not be good for you. Would you please respect us and not ask us to answer or to respond to adult requests? I just don't think it's fair. Now, if you were to listen to this message already, I think that you could pick up a key word: respect. Do you know what I think is missing? between the generations and among the generations, respect. Why can't those who are grandparents respect those who are parents? Why can't those of us who are parents respect those who are teens? We've done everything we can to try to build the relationships among the generations, and it means that all the generations have to give and take a little bit. And that's just respecting each other. You know, the way we did it was not necessarily wrong. Maybe not that's the way you do it. We would want you to respect us, but you know what? We need to respect you as well. If we can build respect, I think that we can all grow together and we can honor God and we can have a great church and a great ministry and you can have a great outreach to your friends. Now, though you have the adult potential, you're still in that 7-year bracket called the teenage years, wedged between childhood and adulthood. Difficult years. There are two things that will prepare you for adulthood. Number one, privileges. We want to give you privileges. But with the privileges also come responsibilities. This is where the problem is. It's not that we do not want to give privileges to our teenagers. It's just that we want you to be responsible. Privileges. You're going to have new opportunities as a teen, new things to enjoy. You're going to have some new freedoms that you've never had before. When you were in Awana or when you were in grade school, there were some things that you did not have the freedom to do. You're going to have new freedoms. And we want you to have new freedoms. You should. You're older. You're teens. But with those freedoms come responsibilities. In other words, there has to be some kind of accountability. It would not be fair for us just to allow you total freedom without assuming responsibility and accountability for your actions. You have to prove the discipline of your life if you expect us to be able to trust you. And we need to treat you in such a way that you trust us as well. I ran across some information that I think will be helpful to all of us. And the information has to do with several areas that I think are important if you're going to move through the teenage years and be successful. These are essentials. Before I give you these three things, could I add one more thing to the responsibility that we have as parents to you? So let me speak to the parents about this. I think that we should not expect from our teens adult maturity. You know, it's so easy for us to say, well, you should be more mature. Or, why didn't you look at it this way? Or, why didn't you do this? Well, the reason that they didn't is because they're teenagers. And we are expecting sometimes you to have adult maturity, and that's not fair. We should not be heaping a standard on you and an expectation on you that is beyond your teenage years. You're teenagers. Nor would we expect of the Awana kids, we would not expect them to have the spiritual maturity of a teenager. So I think that we need to be careful about some of the expectations that we heap on our teens. Let me give you these three essentials. These are three things that you're going to have to build into your life during your teenage years if you're going to be spiritually successful and if you are going to be successful in life. These are three foundational things that you're going to have. Now remember, you have this 7-year period of time, roughly, to develop these three areas. And here they are. Number one, self-understanding. Number two, self-esteem. Number three, self-development. You must have those three things if you are going to transition into adulthood. Let me explain what I mean by these three areas. Number one, self-understanding. When you were in the Awana group or when you were a child, your world was pretty much interpreted by your parents. Not totally, but you were greatly influenced by your parents. It is interesting how many children, if you ask them, what particular political party are you? They'll say the same thing their parents say. Or if you ask them about another particular subject, they often say the same thing that their parents say. What do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a policeman. What's your daddy? He's a policeman. There's nothing wrong with that, but we are greatly influenced by our parents. It's not bad. It's just, that's just kind of the way life is. Now that you are in your teenage years, you need to come to self-understanding. Who am I? What am I like? How has God created me? What do I think? You need to come to a self-understanding. That is, you need to know yourself. And if you don't, if you do not come to understand who you are and what how God has created you, then you will struggle through the rest of your life. Self-understanding. But there's a second area. Self-worth. Or we could use the word self-esteem. Let me put a footnote here because there may be some theologically oriented person who may think that I do not understand theology as it relates to salvation and other subjects, when in reality I do. I am not talking about self-esteem theology as it relates to soteriology. That's not what I'm talking about. That's a totally different subject. What I'm talking about is during the teenage years, you must come to an understanding of what am I worth? What is my value? What do I think of me? In other words, what does God think of me? It is important that we have self-worth. By the way, this is the introductory message. All of these subjects we will eventually go back to as we look at Bible characters. And I'll share with you just a little bit tonight of what happens when you don't have self-worth. There's a certain behavior that you begin to engage in when you don't like yourself. All of us during our teenage years need to come to a self-worth, self-esteem, self-understanding, self-esteem, self-development. What is that? Well, what can I do? And what do I do? And what am I going to do? During the teenage years, we begin to sort out kind of what we're going to do. Now, that doesn't mean that we always, you know, resolve everything during our teenage years, but the facts are that most of us choose a college when we get toward the end of our teenage years, or you choose a business or a trade school or something. So notice you do begin to make decisions about your self-development. What can I do? By the way, my wife has some interesting statements that she makes, and one of them is, you go to college to find out what you don't want to do. I think there's a lot of truth to that. You go to college to find out what you don't want to do. Now, not everybody changes, but good grief, I started out in pre-law. Then went into business, got a business degree, and became a pastor. So I went to college to find out what I didn't want to do. But you have to, at some point in those years, begin to think about, what do I do with how God has made me and what he thinks of me. What do I do with that? So those are the three areas. Self-understanding, what am I like? Self-esteem, what am I worth? Self-development, what can I do? Everybody in the teen years needs to begin to resolve those three questions. Chuck Swindoll, who pastors in Frisco, Texas, the Dallas area, makes this statement, and I think it says it so well. The job of a parent is to help our teens come to know themselves, grow to like themselves, and find satisfaction in being themselves. That's what we want. We want you to know yourself. We also want you to grow to like yourself. And we want you to find satisfaction in being yourself. For this to happen, you need balance in four areas. And the first Bible character that we're going to study today is Jesus, the teenager. You say, the Jesus, the teenager. The passage we're going to go to is one that is not often taught on or preached from. Did you know that the Bible does tell us a little bit about Jesus being in middle school and high school? You go, whoa, really? True. Now, they didn't call it middle school and high school. But we're going to pick up a passage, and Jesus at that point would be in our middle school youth ministry. I don't know who his youth leaders would be, or connecting group leaders. And I'm not sure I would want to be Jesus' connecting group leader, personally. But we're going to pick him up in middle school. Would you turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter? The Gospel of Luke, the second chapter. Now, as you turn to that, we are going to look at a description of how Jesus Christ grew during his teenage years. How did he grow? This chapter and this passage has a lot to do with his humanity, probably more than a declaration of his deity. If you look at Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 39, it says, "And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee and to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." And I circled in my Bible the child. At that point, Jesus is a child. He's an awana. He is a child. He's in childhood at that particular point in his life. Now, if you keep your finger here, because we'll come right back to it, and just turn the page, look at chapter 3, verse 23. So that you get the time frame of Jesus' life, circle verse 23 where it says, "And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age." Now he's 30. In between his childhood and chapter 3, verse 23, is a description of some things that took place between his childhood and being age 30. And you're going to see that this is going to be his middle school and teenage years, and of course it would extend into his 20s. So, we're going to look at Jesus in middle school, high school, and college. That's the bracket that this passage fits. Now, go back, turn the page back to verse 41. And let me begin reading through verse 49. "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old. There it is. They went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. Now stop there. He's 12 years of age. Not sure what grade that would put him if he was in our grading system. Middle school? Probably somewhere around that bracket. When he was this particular age, his parents took him up to the feast. This is being told to us because of some important information that we need to know about the Jewish community and how they trained their children who now come into their teenage years. Let me quote from what I think is an insightful commentary on the Gospel of Luke, written by William Arndt. Listen to what he says. When a Jewish boy was 12 years old, now the Talmud says at the age of puberty, so it could be 12, it could be 13, right in that bracket. He went through a special ceremony and was formally and officially acknowledged as a son of the law. Now, if you don't know the Hebrew language, you wouldn't recognize that terminology, but the word son in Hebrew is the word bar. The word law or commandments is the word mitzvah. Thus, Jewish people refer to when their children now are no longer children, but they come to their teenage years, they have a ceremony called bar mitzvah. Interesting that the Holy Spirit picks us up at the point of Jesus at age 12. Now, what does that mean? Arndt goes on to explain. At that age, Jesus was supposed, or the young man was supposed to have learned enough to be sufficiently mature to follow the mandates of the law of God himself. When you get to middle school and to your high school years, something changes in your responsibility. Yes, you're still in your parents' home, and so you know that there are some things that are going to be expected of you. They're probably going to say, we do go to church on Sunday. We want you involved in such and such. But there are some differences which begin to happen. When you get to that age, and it may not be 12, it could be 14, it could be whatever in there, there are some things that you now are responsible for in a different way than before. We can tell you to memorize the verses for Awana, but when you get to age 12, when you get to bar mitzvah, by the way, for the women, for the girls, it's the word bat mitzvah. Bar meaning son, daughter, bat. So bat mitzvah. They now are responsible to obey the laws of God because you're old enough to obey those laws, and somebody should not have to tell you to do right and to shun wrong.
The Special World of Teens. That was Jerry Lancaster. More next time here on BBN. You've been listening to Building Blocks for the Family from the Bible Broadcasting Network, helping you build a strong family to the glory of God. For more information on getting a copy of today's broadcast, you can visit us at bbnradio.org. Go to the program schedule and then click on Building Blocks for the Family. bbnradio.org.
That concludes your online feature. Now to listen to continuous BBN programming, click Listen Live at bbnradio.org.